let's get into the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to get into your Word today. Lord, we thank you for the revelation that you're about to give us in your Word. Lord, we bless you, we praise you, and we glorify you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hey, now stand with me and take your Bibles. Just wave them in the devil's face. Just take that Bible and wave them in the devil's face. Just let them know that you ain't playing around. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. My Father, who is God, my Lord and Savior, who is Jesus, who is God, is true to his word. He will not back out on any promise that he has made as long as I meet his conditions. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. That's one thing about the Word of God. God loves you. He has a bright future for your life. In Jeremiah, God says through this great prophet that the plans I have for you are plans of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a calling. God loves you. God's plan for you is good. Say, God's plan.
God's plan for me
is good. God has a good plan for you, but you got to become a part of it. You got to get into it. You got to meet with God and let him fulfill his plan in your life. I got to make sure this is recording. See, last week we tried to record the message and nothing came out. Somehow this thing stopped on me. But it's recording today, so we're going to have a CD available for next week's message. Next week we'll have it in the back. I was going to talk about reasons people or excuses people use for not praying. I was going to continue that series. Actually, I was going to start it all over again since we didn't get the recording last week. But as I was out jogging yesterday, you know, I jog, you know, because I want to have this magnificent body. All right. But I was out jogging yesterday, and you know, the Lord has this bad habit of talking to me when I'm out. But see, God does that because he knows that's the best time he can get my attention, because I won't be talking. So God can talk to me then. And he talks to me quite a bit when I'm out jogging. And one of the things he told me yesterday was, son, how can you tell people or deal with people's excuses for not praying until you first talk to them about the importance of praying? Son, talk to my people about the importance of praying first, and then you can deal with their excuses for not praying. So after God slapped me in the face with that one, I decided, well, praise the Lord, I'm going to talk to the people about the importance of praying. We do have some CDs in the back. A couple months ago, I was speaking at the Father's House Fellowship Church up in, where's that church at? Raynham, Massachusetts. And one of the messages we talked about was what happens when we don't pray. And we had the CD of that in the back if you want that. I have some a two-part CD set on asking gets answers, and it talks about the basics of asking and receiving from God. I would encourage you to get those CDs. We also have a CD from when I was speaking at another church here in the city called Grand Coast, where we talked about getting help from the Lord, or the Lord is our helper. You know, those things deal with basic principles concerning prayer. So I would encourage you to get that, because we won't always be able to give you everything you need right away. Amen. Amen. There's so much in God's word to learn, and we only have so much time to give it to you. So take advantage of the books and the CDs, and so that you can be filled with the word of God. Praise God. What we're going to talk about today is a message I titled, Things Could Be Different. Say that with me. Say, things could be
different.
Things could be different. Yes, indeedy, they could. Turn to Isaiah chapter 48. Evangelist Mowbray read it this morning. Didn't he do a wonderful job of reading it with that island accent of his? I just love Evangelist Mowbray's accent, I tell you. I try to duplicate it, but I can't seem to get it right. Amen. We have some wonderful leaders here, praise God. Isn't Pastor Christick a wonderful man of God? Amen. He's a great man of God. I tell you, I love being around that brother. You know, me and him hang out so much, you know, I'm starting to think he's like my... I'm going to have to put him on my income tax, basically. I mean, as much as me and him hang out, you know, it's almost like it. I don't know if there's a day me and him don't be together anymore. But I tell you, this brother is an encouragement to me. I love him. Amen. I love these brothers. I thank God for our elders, Elder Jerry and Elder Steve. Glory to God. Amen. I should have given you enough time to find the passage. Isaiah chapter 48, we're going to read again, begin at verse 16. It says, "Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit." God wants you to get some benefits, amen? God is trying to teach you and I to profit. He wants us to be blessed. You can get a, I don't care what anybody says, you can get a profit from serving God. There are some bennies from serving God. Well, I'm just serving the Lord because I love him. Well, so am I. But I would be a fool if God has made blessings available to me and I say I don't want them. That is a fool. Martin Luther, how many of y'all heard of the great reformer Martin Luther? He's from the 15th century. If it wasn't for Martin Luther, we'd all be Catholics. Hail Mary, you know, we would be doing all that. But Martin Luther, thank God, God used him to bring us out of that and into what we call the Protestant church. But Martin Luther was talking about a man who once... man who did a great thing for the king. And so the king wanted to reward the man. And the man went to him, and so the king came to him and said, "You can have anything you want in all of my kingdom. Just tell me what it is." And the guy says, "Well, Your Highness, all I need is a piece of bread and some water." The king got upset. He said, "I offer you all of anything in my kingdom, and this is you give me this petty request. Get this man out of my sight. Don't ever let him darken my door again." Well, if this is how a secular king would feel, how do you think God feels when the great God of all the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, who can do anything and everything, and you ask him for some piddly little thing? God wants great things. He wants to do great things for you. Your faith is what's limiting God. And we're going to get into that as we teach this, that things could be different. Say that with me. Say, things could be different.
Things could be different.
Yes, things could be different for you if you were to obey the word of God, if you were to do what God says. God wants you to profit, and he's trying to teach you to profit. And he's using his men servants to do that. So pay attention. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please, y'all, comfort me with an amen. I feel so lonely up here sometimes. You know, y'all get all quiet on me, you know. Man, I just like to, I'm sorry, I'm African American. I'm from a black background. You know, we used to go to the Baptist churches and we get the down, you know. You know, and the preacher would preach, he'd shout, "Hallelujah!" And everybody would say, "Amen! I ate a Snickers bar last night! Amen! I'm trying to, at least I'm trying to give you some words, so give me some amens. All right now. All right. Verse 17. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. There's some revelation in there. I could just dig in this verse all day. But God is trying to lead you the way you should go. But it's up to you to follow him.
Amen.
I said it's up to you to follow him.
Amen.
All right. See, God, he's not pulling you like my me and Genevieve was talking in the car this morning as I was bringing her to church. And we were talking about the fact that God does not force you to do what he wants you to do. He offers. He tells you the benefits of following him and the repercussions for not following him. The repercussions are pretty bad. I know from experience that they're pretty bad. How many of y'all know from experience that the repercussions are pretty bad? I tell you, things could have been different if I had followed the Lord correctly. But let's go on. Verse 18. Oh, now this is God speaking. The prophet is speaking for God. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. God is saying, if he's talking to Israel, he said, if you had hearkened to my commandments, if you had listened to my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness as the waves of the sea. God is saying, this is the way it could have been. He's telling Israel, things could have been different. Things could have been different. Look at verse 19. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. But his name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Now these are the blessings that they would have had they had hearkened unto the commandments of God.
Yes.
They would have had these blessings, but instead their name had been cut off and it was destroyed before God. Was it God's fault? No. God gave them the commandments. He was trying to teach them in the way that they should go. He wanted them to profit. He wanted them to be blessed. It was God's desire that they be blessed. But they chose something different. They chose to go in a different direction. Things could have been different, but they were not. Unfortunately, too many of God's people today are what I call fatalists. Do you know what a fatalist is? Let me explain it to you real quick. A fatalist is a person who believes in the que sera, sera principle. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. In other words, they believe that everything that happens to them has somehow mysteriously been ordained of God. Even though they weren't following what God told them to do, they will claim that God did this to me. No, baby, you did it to yourself. But that's what a fatalist will do. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that God is sovereign. How many of y'all believe that God is sovereign? I believe that God is the ruler of the universe. I believe that the world is under his power. Otherwise, we would have crashed into the sun a long time ago. I believe that God is all-powerful and almighty. But I also believe that God has created us with a free will.
Yes.
He's given us the ability to make choices, to choose for him or against him. And our choices can determine our destiny. Do you know that? Your choices, your decisions can determine your destiny. Do you know that the future, your future, a lot of it is in your hands? Oh, you can't affect what God is ultimately planning on doing. I mean, you know, like we read the book of Revelation, God says he's going to do some things. You and I can't stop that. We ain't going to stop the second coming of Jesus. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. But there are things in our own particular lives, the plans that God has for your personal life, you can hinder it or help it to come to pass. The things that happen in your life are not necessarily ordained of God. You can't tell me that somebody can have homosexual sex, get AIDS, and then tell me, well, God ordained that. Oh, no, no, no. I will not receive that for a minute. It's your choice, the choice that you made, that got you in the place that you are. See, the Bible doesn't teach that everything that happens in this world is ordained of God in some way or another. The Bible teaches that we're in a warfare. There's God, there's Satan and his demons, God and his angels, Satan and his demons, and us in between all of that. And we have authority. We can determine whether we're going to obey God or obey Satan in the lust of our own flesh. You can make that choice. So the reason why the things are the way they are in your life, in my life, is not always necessarily anything to do with God. Oh, God is the judge now. He has made the laws of sowing and reaping. So in some sense, God may have some responsibility because God has determined if you do this, you'll get this. If you do this, you'll get this. So God has, he set up the law of blessings and cursings. Life and death. But you know, God urged Israel, and you read this in Deuteronomy 30, he said, choose life. It's almost like he was begging them, choose life, y'all. Choose life. I mean, at one point in Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 6, he says, oh, if they would just hearken unto my commandments. Oh, if they would just obey me, then things would go well with them. He wanted things to go well with them. He wants things to go well for you. God does not enjoy it when you're in a mess. He doesn't enjoy it. So we have to get away from some of the fatalistic ideas that we have about, you know, God and his sovereignty and his control and everything like that. Because things can definitely be different. If you got, now that's not to say you won't go through trials. I want you to say this because I don't want you leaving here saying Pastor Troy said I'll never have a trial if I do right. Say, Pastor Troy. Say that with me. Say, Pastor Troy did not say I won't go through trials. Baby, you're going to get trials. The Bible says in the world ye shall suffer tribulation. But it goes on to say, but be of good cheer for I have overcome the world. Amen. See, you're going to get trials. You're going to have challenges. But what I'm saying is that certain things happen in your life are not necessary if you obey God. So you can get through the trials if you trust God. But there are other things that happen in our lives that are not of God. Negative things. And they happen because of our own choices. Let's look at some more scripture on this. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 13. Here at Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship, everything we teach you will come from the Bible. If we can't back it up with the Bible, we won't teach it. There are some things, some doctrines that I'm still wrestling with. And I would never proclaim them from the pulpit because I still have to search the Bible on them. But I tell you, now when I know the Bible says something, I'm going to teach it, preach it, whether people like it or not. Even if I got to preach to an empty place. Amen. Amen. One thing, I will not compromise the Word of God. I'd rather be pleasing to God than to be pleasing to y'all. Now that doesn't mean I want to offend anybody or insult you. Because I love y'all. I need you. All right. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 13. And what am I doing in 1 Kings? I seem to have a bad habit of doing that. I tell everybody to go to 2 Corinthians, not go to 1 Corinthians. All right. 2 Kings chapter 13. Beginning at verse 14. It says, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward.
Yes.
And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The hour of the Lord's deliverance, and the hour of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou have consumed them.
Yes.
Verse 18. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice. That's King James lingo for three times. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then thou hast smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Things could have been different for Joash. Things could have been different for Joash. Joash limited God. He thought only he beat the ground only 3 times, but the man of God, Elisha, told him, you know, if you had done it 5 or 6 times, then you would have had a stronger victory.
Yes, amen.
But now your victory is going to be limited because you only struck the ground 3 times. Things could have been different for Joash. Things could be different for you. See, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 9:29, if you're taking notes, according to your faith be it done unto you.
Yes.
It's according to your faith. The Greek, you know, the New Testament was written in Greek, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. According to, in the Greek, that word according to, it comes from the Greek word metron, which means out of the measure. So it's out of the measure of your faith that God will do things for you. Now, God will do abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. But still, you can limit God and what he wants to do in your life. If Joash had beat that ground a few more times, see, it takes bold, daring faith to really receive everything that God has. See, we are, you know what our problem is? Because we're stingy, we think God's stingy. We like to limit people in what we're going to give them. You know, there's some of us that will give the shirt off our backs, and there's some of us that might only give them a little piece of the shirt. See, God will give you the shirt off his back. If you ever read the story, see, when you read about Jesus Christ in his earthly walk demonstrated and displayed the character of God. Because he said, I only do that which I see my Father doing. So if you want to know how God is, look at Jesus. Jesus told that to Philip. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. In other words, all the compassion that Jesus had is the same kind of compassion that God has. All that Jesus did for people is the same thing God wants to do for people. God does not want you limiting him. God wants you to believe him for great things,
amen,
for wonderful things, for powerful things. And that's the problem with Joash. He limited God because Joash probably himself had a stingy spirit. So he thought, well, maybe I don't want to, you know, do too much. Let me just beat the ground 3 times and hopefully I don't offend God with that. No, you offend God by asking too little. Things could be different if you really trust him. Amen. My time is running out. Let's look at a couple more scriptures. We'll probably continue this next week. I was hoping to get this thing done today, but praise God. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 13. We're going to talk about King Saul. King Saul, who knows the name of? Some of y'all are probably too young to know that cartoon that was back in the 70s called King Kong. Anybody know that song? That cartoon? That song? That's all right, I got the DVDs at home. You can watch it. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13. Samuel chapter 13, begin at verse 13. Now, this is, you can read the background, you can read all the verses before that, for the sake of time, we won't get into all that Saul did, but let's just say this was one of the first of many instances where Saul really messed up. This ain't even the worst one. The worst one comes two chapters later, when he just ridiculously rebelled against God. But this one, this is when he begins to really start messing up with God and getting God upset. You don't want to get God upset, baby. I'm telling you. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God loves you, but don't make him mad. I don't like to see God mad. All right. So I didn't like to see my mama mad. I don't like to see God mad. My mama got mad. I wish I was somewhere else. And she tear my behind up. All right. Samuel, chapter 13, begin at verse 13. It says, "And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." Things could have been different for Saul. His kingdom could have been established forever. But he did not obey the commandment of the Lord. See, some people say, it was because God already had David planned that's why he did that. No, this is not what the passage is saying. It says he did not keep the commandment of the Lord. That's the reason why he messed up. It has nothing to do with God having a plan for David. God may have had a plan for David, but God had a plan for Saul too. Yes. A good plan, not a bad one. God did not predestine Saul's demise. He did not predestine it. He wanted Saul to do right because his plan was to establish Saul's kingdom forever. You ever have any plans for your kids? Any of y'all that have children? Have they ever disappointed you? Well, my kids are here, so I'm not going to tell you that they've disappointed me. I don't want to get them upset. You're welcome, sweetheart. Oh. Those of you who are leaders in some capacity, have you ever had plans for people? When me and the leaders was trying to start this church, this seat should have been filled with all the people that were supposed to be coming. We had plans for people. We had a van driver. He ain't here. we had plans. They could have been blessed forever. under the anointing of the word. Well, God had plans for Saul, but Saul messed up. I mean, we've had plans for people and they just, saying crazy stuff, and we've had to boot them out. We can't tolerate the kind of sin that people be wanting to get into sometimes. But God had planned for Saul, but Saul blew it. And look at this, verse 14. But now, say now. Now. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. Why? Because he messed up. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people. Why? Not because God had a predestined plan for Saul to fall and for David to take his place. He did not plan from eternity back and saying, "Ooh, now whether he knew it or not, that's a moot point." Whether, you know, because we believe that God is omniscient. But that's not the point. The point is that the fact that he did not predestine Saul's fall, Saul's demise, and for David to take his place. Amen?
Amen.
God had planned for Saul to be king and his family forever. But Saul messed up. And then after Saul messed up, then God sought for another man.
Yeah.
Then God sought for a man to be a captain over his people. But things could have been different for Saul. Things could have been different. Those, the two words, now and sought, shows you right there that God did not pre-plan Saul's destruction. God is not pre-planning anybody's destruction. He wants you to prosper. His plan is to give you a hope and a calling. Why isn't some of God's people having fulfilling that hope and that calling? Because they're not doing the things the way God wants them to do. God does not hide his word and his promises. He has made it available, especially those of us in America where we have these 66 books. It makes me wonder why persecuted churches in China and Muslim and Christians in Muslim countries are seeing all these miracles, are getting all these blessings, because and they're under persecution, and many of them don't even have a Bible. And they get one page from this Bible and it becomes so precious to them. And here we are in America, we just take the book for granted. We go home, you know, we done went to church, we done had a hallelujah good time, we go home and we just throw the Bible. Well, praise the Lord. Martha, where's my food? I'm hungry. This is what we do with God. The Bible says that Jesus is the Word of God. You know what we do with Jesus? We just take Jesus and we just go. You know, we just go home, throw it on the coffee table, throw it on the couch, just throw it anywhere. Then, next Sunday come, Martha, where's my Bible? You know, Pastor Troy, he don't want us coming to church without no Bible. Where's my Bible? Ain't read it all week. What do you care about what Pastor Troy thinks? You ain't even reading the thing. You don't even know where it's at. I remember one time we was out on the streets witnessing. And there was this dude all drunk and everything. This was when I was in Japan. And we were witnessing to several Marines. This dude, he's all drunk and everything. And he saw me with my Bible. He's like, "Oh man, that's the word of God, man. That's God's word. You know, just that's God's word. That's the word, man. That's the word." So, you know what I did? I took it, I threw it on the ground like that, and I stomped on it. And he don't do that to the word. You don't do that. What's wrong with you? I said, "This is exactly what you're doing." I said, "You sit here drunk talking about this is the word of God, and you don't even obey it." He said, "Don't do that." I said, "You ready to give your life to Christ?" "Yeah, yeah." We pray with him and he received Jesus as Savior. Sometimes we got to do some radical things. As you're led by the Spirit of God. I love this Bible. I didn't get the dust off of it. Praise God. But the Word of God cannot just be a book to you. You have to obey this. You see, this book will transform your life. Things can be different for you if you will obey this. Let's look at one more passage of scripture, and then we'll get into this message further next week. Are you getting anything out of this today?
Amen.
Amen. Are you getting blessed?
Amen.
Are you learning anything?
Amen.
Amen. Because I could have been out fishing somewhere, you know. Me and George could have rented us a boat and just talked about the Lord on the boat. I hate wasting my time. If I'm going to preach, I want y'all to get something out. Now, don't get me wrong. I love preaching. I love teaching. I know the other pastor is supposed to get an opportunity, but I don't know when I want to give it to him. No, I'm just kidding. No, Pastor Christian, you're going to preach, brother. I just love preaching the word of God. Amen. Glory to God. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. See, I shouldn't threw this book on the ground. Now I lost my place. If you're still in Samuel chapter 13, just turn a couple pages and go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Look at one more passage of scripture. Now you're probably all wondering, what does this have to do with praying? Well, I'll tell you next week. So that means you're going to have, I'm going to leave you in suspense because I want you to come back next week. I want all y'all to come back next week. Invite a friend. Shoot, invite an enemy. Get them saved. Glory to God. Invite that person you hate. You'll start to love them after a while. Praise God. All right. First Samuel chapter 2, beginning at verse 30. It says, wherefore, now this is God talking to Eli. Eli was a man of God in the Levitical priesthood, and he had two sons, and they were all supposed to be judges over Israel. They were supposed to be like the rulers over Israel, but Eli's sons was like what you see some of these renegade pastors, so-called pastors today. They was taking advantage of the fruit of the congregation. Mm-hmm. You know, they saw some fine women in the congregation, and they decided, let me tell you something. Don't ever go to a church where the man of God, where the supposed man of God, is taking advantage of the women. Amen? He doesn't love you. I love y'all. I would never take advantage of y'all like that. Now, do you know this one? There's some cuties in here. You know, some of y'all are cute. Some of you ladies are cute. But you won't ever, but you know, we as your leaders love you too much to be taking advantage of you in that kind of way. We want you to live for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. First chant. But see, that's what Eli's sons were doing. And Eli wasn't doing nothing to stop them. Oh, every once in a while, he give a rebuke here or there. Stop doing that. You know, if I talk to my kids like that, I know these three. They will run all over me. They will run all over me. They get mad at me because sometimes I'm a little hard, but I know them. If I don't be hard, then they just do whatever they want. See, Eli did not realize that. Oh, boy, stop doing that. Well, God got upset because God expects you to raise your children properly, amen? And you're supposed to be the judge of all Israel. You're supposed to keep your sons under control. So God sent the man of God to Eli, and he said this, wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, say now.
Now.
But now, say but now.
But now
the Lord saith, be it far from me. Look at that. Things could have been different for Eli. His household could have walked before the Lord forever. But now, God said, be it far from me. God said, I ain't having it now. You done messed up, boy. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. God did not pre-plan this thing for Eli. God is a God of reciprocation. God believes in give and take relationships. God says, you honor me, I'll honor you. You despise me, then you're going to be lightly esteemed. God, basically, you get out of the relationship what you put into it with God. God has made his blessings available to you, but you make the decision whether you're going to do right by God and receive those blessings, or whether you're just going to just act any old kind of way you want to act. You don't respect God, don't honor God, dishonor God, then you get the results of what you've done. How many of y'all want to honor God today after reading all this? I tell you, I'm sitting up here getting convicted. I'm like, I'm going to do right myself. Praise God. Can I just give you one more? Just one more. One more before we close out.
Yes.
One more. I promise this is the last one. Luke chapter 7. I really got to give you this because I want you to see how important this is, that you know that that God has a predestined plan for your life, but it's up to you to be able to fall in line with what he has predestined for you. God is not going to force you to fall into line. If you don't do what's right, then he's going to let you reap the results of doing wrong. And God is merciful. So many times God overlooks our faults and sees our needs. But we continue in our rebellion, sooner or later, God's going to say, enough. I've held it long enough. Luke chapter 7, verse 30. I just want you to see this. You got to see this last one, and then we're going to close out, and we'll continue this message next week. Luke chapter 7, verse 30. This is talking about John. He was trying to baptize some folks. But look at what the Pharisees did. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Talking about John. The Pharisees rejected the counsel of God. Another translation, several other translations, as a matter of fact, I looked this up in different translations. It says that the Pharisees rejected the plan of God for themselves by not being baptized of John. God did not pre-plan for the Pharisees to become all kooky religious folks and get themselves into hell. That was not God's predestined plan for them. God's plan for them was to be blessed.
Amen.
But they rejected that plan when they refused John's baptism. They rejected the plan of God for themselves. God has a plan for you, brothers and sisters. God has a plan for Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship. Glory to God. It doesn't. You go wherever God has led you. I want you to stay here, but if God has a plan for you, we will let you go. And we will love you. We will lay hands on you and love you. You don't ever have to worry about leaving here and we cursing you, amen? You won't get that here. We love you. We love you so much. We want the best for you. Because God has a predestined plan for your life. But if you know that God has told you to stay here, stay here. If you know that God has told you to stay out of adultery, out of fornication, stay out of it. If you know that God has told you to stay out of them bars, stay out of them bars. Unless you're going in there to witness. Amen?
Amen.
But if you have trouble with alcohol, if you had trouble with alcohol in the past, don't be going in the bars talking about, I'm going in there to witness. You'll be in there drinking with them. Jesus loves you. I'll tell you this story, and then we're going to close out. I remember we were downtown. This is when I was in Japan still. We was downtown witnessing the red light district. You know, they had a lot of go-go bars, you know, nudie bars and stuff like that. And we, while we were downtown witnessing, we saw this one brother that we had led to the Lord. He went and snuck in. He was sneak, you know, creeping. And he went and snuck in a bar. So, you know, the guy I was with who was out there witnessing said, let's go in there and rescue him. I said, yeah. So we go into the bar. And then he's trying to talk to the guy, you know, trying to get him out of the bar. And I'm standing there with him. And next thing you know, this nice, young, beautiful girl gets up on the stage with hardly a stitch on. I said, brother, I said, I'm going outside and I'm praying for you. I went outside and I began to pray to the Lord. I prayed in them unknown tongues. You see, I know the level of my strength, amen. I am no fool. I had a wife and a baby at home. I was not about to mess up my life. Me and this woman have been married for 23 years. That was I think this incident was like 21 years ago. If I had stayed in that bar, you can imagine what would have happened, and she would not be sitting here today. I may not be sitting here today. I may not be speaking to y'all today. But God had a predestined plan for my life. But I had to get in line with that plan. That meant being obedient to God in every aspect of my life. Not going in there to the cute little girls and talking about witnessing to them. I just want you to know Jesus as your personal savior. Here's my phone number. Call me anytime you need counseling. Matter of fact, give me your phone number. I'll call you and schedule an appointment. Amen. 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 Stand to your feet. Praise God. Did you get anything out of this today?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. How many of y'all going to be back next week? All right. All right. Praise God.